Christmas 2015. This is what we came up with. This is the Barbie saddle and ride horse. You know, I'm not a big fan of Barbie, but I think if I was a girl, I'd like this one. I kind of like that. That's kind of cool. I know Pam's going to get one tomorrow. All right. She's a big horse lady, if you didn't know that. How about this, guys? How about this Fisher & Price Imagine Next Ultra T-Rex? Wouldn't you like that, Ben? Wouldn't that be fun? But I got to admit now, this is the one that got me. The Star Wars thing here. This Jedi Master lightsaber. Now that is some saber. Look at all that stuff on that. Look at that extensions. Man. Wow. You couldn't lose a battle in that. Okay. For some of us a little older, maybe a gold-plated iPad Air. I think those are only 18,000 Hong Kong. So you get that. How about this, guys? Anybody got a Fugu or Fugo? Anybody got a Fugu? Well, they say this is one of the best Bluetooth sound boxes. You can take it to the beach. You can take it in snow, wherever you are. It's weatherproof, but it's very loud, and it's powerful, and the battery lasts. And that's a big thing about Bluetooth things. It seems to go really quickly. But Fugu, that's a gift, they say a lot of guys want. How about this, ladies? Gold-plated Gucci sunglasses. Affordable, $5,000, Hong Kong. But if you want to buy these little booties, you better dig a little deeper. That's $100,000, Hong Kong, for a pair of these guys. And the ridiculously rich can buy this, what's that called, a Raposi ring. That's probably millions and millions. I don't know what that would be. But guys, we're more sensible, right? We don't need all that kind of fancy stuff. Just a Fitbit. Some of you are wearing Fitbits. I've seen you. You have them, and you're getting fitter, and I'm getting fatter, but so I'm going to have to get one of these things. But Fitbits are very good, you know? Very sensible. We guys, we know sensible toys, what we'd like for Christmas. You know, like we want our own drone. You know, something that's usable and practical, and you can take pictures of DB and send them everywhere around the world, and wherever else you want to make photographs. So the First Lady, Michelle, has got this one picked out for President Obama. Equipped with air-to-surface missiles. Okay. That's just a joke, kids. That's not the real... Okay. But a gift you should want. The Bible talks about these things, and that's where we're going to go to, is the Bible gift catalog. Now, some of us grew up before there were computers. You know? And at Christmas time in the United States, we would get catalogs. And I remember when the Sears catalog came, and then there was the JCPenney's catalog, and we'd flip through those catalogs and pick out something for Christmas. Occasionally, I think even now, people put out the promotional Toys R Us will come out with the new Christmas stuff. Just wait. In the next month, we're going to get something from Toys R Us, and it's going to have a list of all the fabulous toys you need. But the Bible has a gift catalog. The Bible talks about gifts, and one of them, what we just participated in, was gifts to God. It talks about bringing your gifts to God, and Paul went around collecting for those in Jerusalem who were going through hardship. We're collecting these monies, by the way, if you're new, on the coins and other gifts you can give, is for Syrian Refugee Relief Ministries. And we were basically working with World Vision Hong Kong and getting monies to the refugees where they're needed most, on the border as and in the refugee centers there, as well as in Europe as we deal with the refugees crisis from Syria. So the Bible has a lot to say about gifts to God. And so every week we have this part of our service which we call Worship God Through Giving. We worship God with song, we worship God with prayer, we worship God like we're doing right now, listening to His words. But we also worship God with giving and giving gifts to God. But the majority of the Bible doesn't talk about us bringing gifts to God. Now, the reason we bring gifts to God is because we've got this great big gift called salvation. We got God Himself as our gift. And because of that gift, we then bring other gifts to God. But gifts from God are... They're primarily one great big one, if you will, and that's the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us at the point of belief. And that salvation includes these big words, grace, righteousness, and faith. But that all points out the Holy Spirit sparking that light in you, being born again, and you understand God's forgiveness of your sins, the righteousness that comes through faith in God alone, not by works. This is a gift from God. And of course, that means what? Eternal life. Yep, we're going to have to face death, but after death, what? Eternal life. Heaven. But there's another gift that's overlooked by a lot of us Christians, and I haven't talked to you about this, boys and girls, or your moms and dads, I don't think, since I've been here. And that's called spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. How many of you have ever heard of spiritual gifts? Okay. There's a few hands that went up. So let's look at the catalog, all right? The list of spiritual gifts, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, they have some of the gifts that are there. And I won't read them all out, but you can read these passages of Scripture, particularly Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and you can see the gifts in their list in Ephesians 4. But Paul tells us, there's in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Ben, just between you and me, have you ever said the word prophesy? Let's try it. Prophesy. Okay. Everybody, prophesy. Okay. Now, the reason I want to do that, you'll see in just a minute. Okay. Especially that you may prophesy. We're supposed to seek this gift called prophesy. Well, let's look at it a little bit. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's Acts 2:17. Speaking of when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost in such a dramatic fashion that people began speaking in other languages, at least 16 other languages. And so you can imagine if I started speaking Portuguese, that'd be amazing. You know, if I started speaking Russian or Italian, and all of a sudden somebody says, hey, you know, I think James has had a little bit too much to drink, and Peter says, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy that what? That when the Holy Spirit is given and come, this will happen. Sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. The last days, okay, Timothy guys, you've been hanging with me. Remember we got in Timothy and it said in the last days there'll be terrible times, difficult days, remember? And in these last days, God is in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets and many miraculous signs and wonders. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through Jesus Christ. The last day starts from Pentecost until Christ comes back. This period is when we proclaim the gospel. That is called the last days. So from Pentecost to this point, your sons and your daughters, my sons, my daughters, shall do what? Prophesy. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and earnestly desire. Oh man, when I used to play bass guitar, I just really wanted a nice amplifier. I never got a nice amplifier. I got some kind of special out of a catalog. but again, I couldn't want it. I just couldn't wait to have it. And when it came and arrived by UPS and this big box, and of course, Mom and Dad would not let me look at it, and they wrapped it up. But I think on Christmas Eve, while they're asleep, I go in and kind of peek and see. But earnestly desire gifts. What are you earnestly desiring? Do you even think about spiritual gifts? Now, I'm going to guess that most of you, a lot of you, at least, did anybody play Halloween last night? Don't raise your hand. Okay. All right. Well, let's say we did, all right? You probably spent some effort figuring out, am I going to be a ninja? Or am I going to be whatever superhero? Or I'm going to be some kind of scary wolf thing. I don't know. You spend some energy thinking about that, right? But Mom and Dad, if you're like me, I never told my kids earnestly desire a spiritual gift. And I don't want you guys to do that. I want you to build in some sort of a desire to do the spiritual things of God in your children. And that can only be done through God's Spirit helping you. But especially that you may prophesy. We got to look at this a little bit. Earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. Now, what is this? What is the gift? We got to ask that question. And secondly, how do we get it? How do I get it? Okay, what is this gift? The name of the gift is the gift of prophecy. That's why I put the C there, prophecy. But people who have the gift of prophecy prophesy. What do you think, Ben? You said prophesy, right? Was that your word, or were you prophecy? Okay. You see the difference between the C and the prophecy and prophesy? C and the S, right? Everything clear? Everybody up there? Okay. The words prophecy and prophesy sound like, what's the root word? What is that? You think so? I think so. Okay, prophet seems to be the root word, all right? Prophet. Is that spelled right? It looks kind of funny, doesn't it? Prophet. Okay. Prophet. Prophet. Does the Bible say anything about prophets? It says a lot about prophets. Prophets proclaim the word of God, and basically it's repent. Means turn around and live for God and be blessed. And if you don't, you'll be destroyed. I like the first bit. I don't like the second bit. But basically, you'll see whatever prophet it is, he is saying to God's people, quit living for this stuff and live for God. Because that's what we were made for. Boys and girls, moms and dads and young people, we were made to be God's children. To be his family and to reflect his glory in a torn up world. That's what we're made for. Of course, as Pete was praying, you know, in that original design was there's no torn up world. It's paradise. And then we choose. We don't want to do things God's ways because we want to be like God himself. And that's basically what people are doing. They're running around wanting to be like God themselves. They don't want to serve God. So our message is what? Turn around and live for God and be blessed. That's what prophets did. And that's what we do today. But a brief history of prophets. Now, you got to be a good Bible student to get this, but I think you'll do it. Who was the first prophet named in the Bible? He was actually called a prophet. You can find this in Genesis 27. Don't go there. Okay, Genesis 27, that's a hint. Who is it? Who? Who is that? Is that Ryan shouting up there? Anybody get it? Elijah? He's one of the biggies, that's for sure. Who? Samuel, he's one of the first two. But there's one that's before Samuel, and that's Father Abraham. If you look up at Genesis 20, what was it? Oops, where is it? 27. If you look up that, you'll see that says that, and giving back his wife, talking about Abraham, this king thought that was his sister, and he liked her, and then Abraham had lied. Prophets have mistakes, right? They're not holy. Holy through God only. But Father Abraham, now who could he preach repent? It was just him. There was no nation. But he's a prophet. And his life declares what prophets are all about. Father Abraham was one of repentance and faith. And God said, leave your people and come follow me, and I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through your seed, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, the real test of character, if you will, of faith and repentance, the life is a life who listens to God and follows God and believes that God is good and will bless you. Now, as a young person, I didn't think God could bless me and let me have a good life. He wants to take things away from me. He wants to restrict me. He doesn't want me to have freedom. He wants me to have a sourpuss kind of life. That's not the God of Scripture. It's not the real God. The real God says, follow me. It may get tough. It may involve suffering, but I want to promise you, James, and I want to promise you, my friends here this morning, young and old, you follow me, and you're going to experience goodness and blessing you could never, ever imagine. Okay, imagine a 16-year-old boy in North Carolina smoking marijuana. And here's a 63-year-old man holding Joshua, a child of God, in his arms. Somewhere along the line, God got a hold of my heart and said, James, put aside pleasure and find life and meaning in following God. Father Abraham's life was one of repentance and faith, and that's why we call him the father of our faith. And read Romans 3 and 4 today if you've got a time to meditate on God's word. It's just wonderful, wonderful to see Father Abraham. But let's get back to some more prophets, okay? Moses is considered a prophet. Man, he had to confront those Israelites, you know. They did all kinds of things. 40 years in the wilderness, they had to go through that because they wouldn't obey. But anyway, Moses is a great prophet. Now, who said Elijah up there? Somebody said Elijah. Elijah's a great prophet, calling fire down from heaven and that kind of thing. And you know there's these prophetic books, the writing prophets, and the major prophets. They wrote a lot more. And in the Bible, kids, you'll find all these other guys called the minor prophets. See their names? Kind of hard to read, right? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, etc. All those guys. So a lot of prophets in the Bible, and they're speaking the word of God. But if you read those carefully, they're going to keep saying what? Repent, turn back, come back to God, and He'll bless you. If you don't, bad stuff is going to happen to you. But then, after those prophets wrote, there were 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence. God did not have a prophet speaking for Him. And then came the person whom Jesus described as one of the most godliest men. Is this guy. Who's this kid? Does anybody know him? Who? Is that Peter the Baptist? It's John the Baptist, right? And so John the Baptist comes, and remember what he said? Repent. There it is, that word again. Turn around. Give your life back to God. Come follow God. Make straight for the pathway of the Lord. And then, you know, who shows up is Jesus. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not even worthy to undo your sandals. Take your dirty shoes off. I'm not worthy to do that. How in the world can I baptize you? And Jesus said, look, this is to fulfill what God has called me to do. You baptize me. Jesus didn't need to repent. But he is showing that this is to whom all people should come to God through. This is the way. This is the way. Repent. Make straight the way of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the truth and the way. You want a highway to heaven? You trust Christ. So prophets. But you know, Jesus himself is called a prophet. Remember the woman at the well? She said, hey, I perceive you're a prophet. I mean, he told her, he said, I know who you are. You've had five husbands, and one you're with now is not your own. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, she perceived that, but that he went on to explain that he had the water of life. Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. Jesus, Messiah. Jesus, whom we worship on every Sunday. Yes, he was a prophet, the last one. We need no other prophet. No matter what Muhammad may want you to think, we do not need Muhammad's witness. We do not need Joseph Smith's witness. We do not need any other prophet. What we need is to listen to the prophet. The word, the message, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. This is my Son, Father God said. Listen to him. In times past, God spoke to the prophets in many ways. But in these last days, he spoke to us through his Son, the prophet. Okay. And this is what he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's that word again. Repent. Quit living for self. Quit living for vain idols, whatever those might be. Pleasure idols, reputation idols, possession idols. Repent. Turn away from all that stuff now and live for God and believe in the gospel that God loves you and he wants to give you eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, now, summary, where are we going? Prophets were God's brave messengers in a hostile world, in a disobedient world. And their major message was repent and follow God. Be blessed. Okay, now, this gift of prophecy is very similar to the role of prophets. What is a spiritual gift of prophecy? It's primarily an ability to proclaim the truth of God in a clear, bold manner. Turn from a godless life and live for God. Now, occasionally you'll see within the Christian world, there will come up these guys who are so-called prophets. And the Bible warns us, I have a slide, but I'm not going to show it to you today, about false prophets in the last days. There are going to be many. But basically, these false prophets oftentimes pick a date when Christ will return. They try to pick a date when certain things will happen. And you can see they're false. Why? Because it doesn't come true. There may be, on occasion, I don't want to rule this out, God will use people in a special way to speak of something coming, something in the future. But that's not what we talk about prophecy. We're talking about prophecy is people who can speak to the culture that they're living in right now and say, hey, look, you know, rugby's good. Except from Australia. Rugby's good. So we've got 12,000 kids in Hong Kong under 12 playing rugby. And today there's a big tournament over at King's Park. It started at 8 o'clock in the morning to go to 6 o'clock at night. Every 10 minutes they're playing a game. I'm just picking on rugby, okay? And there's my game, the round ball, football. And there's tennis. What's some other big sports we like? There's basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you know it. Sport is becoming an idol. It has been. And I love it. I watch games and just, you know, I'm even thinking about stuff I'd like to do today, later on tonight, tomorrow, day off, you know. But we've got to speak to the world of sport. How do we as Christians compete? How do we as Christians show Christian character in the sporting arena? But we don't let it become an idol. So those who have a gift of prophecy be able to proclaim Christ. I had an opportunity on Tuesday night to share with some of my friends who I play football with on Tuesday, and we're having some refreshments under the umbrellas down in the plaza. And the door just opened up to witness like it has in a long while. And everything was said and done, I went home and I was thanking God for that night. And I've shared with some of you how God worked. But you know, I thought about it. It's like these guys, most of them, are much better footballer than I am. And they're much younger, too. But aside from that fact, if I was that young, I probably wouldn't play as good as they do. They're good players. But you know what? They're never going to play for FC Barcelona. And they're never going to play for Brazil. Maybe Chelsea would take them. That's a private joke, okay? But what I'm getting at is the perfection that God wants. You can never be a part of his family unless you're perfect. Perfect. That means you have nothing but pure love for all people all the time. That means you have pure love for God all the time. And you and I know we're what? We are not perfect, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that illustration of playing for FC Barcelona. You know, how that was kind of like a prophetic word the Lord saying to you, James. You can use that when you talk to your friends, when they try to understand about goodness versus sinfulness. Because most people think they're what? Good people. Well, they probably are good people, but they're not perfect. They're not righteous. And the gospel message we bring is a righteousness that comes through God through faith in Christ alone, because He was the perfect one. And I believe that perfect one went onto the cross and died for me, so His perfection, His righteousness, becomes mine through faith. Not because I go to church, not because I try to be a good husband and father. No, 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 no. It comes to me through faith that He died for my imperfections. So I grab hold of that by faith, and then what? I have the righteousness of Christ through faith. Okay. So primarily this gift of prophecy is an ability to proclaim the truth of God in a clear, bold manner, turn from a godless life and live for God. So how do I get this gift of prophecy? I guess if you want to get that, that Tyrannus Rex, Tex Rex, whatever it is, that big toy, that dinosaur thing, where would you go get it? Toys R Us, probably. If you want to get that Raposi diamond, guys, I think Lane Crawford has it. If you want to get that for your wife. Whatever, you know where to go to shop, right? How do you go get a gift? A prophecy. Any ideas out there? I don't have any in my pocket to give you. I gave the gift I had to keep, but pretty good. Well, pretty simple. You just ask for it. Well, who do you ask? You ask God. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I don't call me evil. I mean, if you who are imperfect, you who are sin, fall short of the glory of God. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, even evil people know how to give good gifts to their children. Really evil people. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? To be able to have the ability to speak clearly and proclaim in the world of God. Be friends with God. That's what really matters. Come to faith in Christ. How do you do that? How do you speak to that? In the schoolyard. In the sports arena. In the work arena. In the neighborhoods. At the parties. Lord, we just want that gift. So earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. And why is that? Simply, we need Holy Spirit power to proclaim the truth in these last days. We need Holy Spirit power to proclaim the truth in these last days. One thing we're discovering in our disciple group, and is we're so quiet. We've all met people who stick a track into your hand when you get off a bus or you get off the ferry. You know, they're these different types of people and the way they try to get the good news out. Maybe occasionally you'll see someone on a street corner. I don't see this too often in Hong Kong, but it happens. But for the most part, we're on the opposite end. We're kind of like the quiet witness. Well, they'll come and they'll know Jesus by our love. They'll see that we are Christians, and they'll all flock to Christ. We don't have to say a word. That's where we err. But we need Holy Spirit in these last days to proclaim the truth in a way that's loving and understanding. Yeah, I understand there's some really issues out there that are far from the truth, that are affecting our society in deep ways. And how do we respond to those and speak the truth in that? With a goal not to expose sin, but with a goal to what? Show, yes, you need to turn from living life your way to living God's way and be blessed. It's the way God created. It's what you need. If you will, we've got diamonds in our pockets, and we need to give those diamonds to people. And that's the good news. So we need Holy Spirit power to proclaim truth in these last days. So I want you to engage with God. And This is one way you can do it, okay? And remember, this is a gift you should want. A gift for you and your children. Lord Jesus, please give me the gift of prophecy so that I can warn my friends to turn from following false gods, instead follow you, the true God, and bring you glory. There's all kinds of gifts. And you can see the list. I gave you the scriptures. But there's only one which we're encouraged to seek earnestly. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Holy Spirit, He who opened our eyes to see the truth that Christ died, and I'll personalize this, died for me. And I want to thank you so much, Lord, that in these last days, you've told us in Scripture there are going to be difficult times. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud and arrogant, abusive, disobeying their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, without self-control, brutal and not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But we thank you that in these last days you've also poured out your Holy Spirit. And Father, we don't understand it. I don't understand everything about the gift of prophecy. But one thing I do know is the world needs to turn back to you to find blessing. And one thing I do know is I am a very weak person when it comes to speaking your gospel to people who don't know you here in DB. And so I pray, Lord, that this gift of prophecy you will flame in our hearts as we sang earlier, that the nations will know. And when I look at the audience this morning and the moms and dads and where they're from and where they're going and the countries that they'll be involved with and different people, I pray, Holy Spirit, make us people who speak clearly and boldly and powerful the word of God, that many will come to know you. So Lord, we desire this gift of prophecy that only comes from you, the Holy Spirit. And we pray that it will be operative in our lives in this church. Lord, we want to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and Spirit-directed. Not for our sake, but for you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to switch gears a little bit. And as we prepare for Holy Communion, if I could ask the elders to come on down, give me a hand. As they're coming, something that we always do is before we take communion, we encourage everyone to look at 1 Corinthians 11 to consider the warning that there is a way where you can take of this bread and this wine in an unworthy manner. What does that really mean? Well, for the Corinthians, they had a problem. They felt that the rich people and the poor people were two different types of believers. But no, there's only one type of believer, and that's called a saved sinner. All of us imperfect people who've fallen short of the glory of God. That's us. So the elders, myself, all of you, we're just brothers and sisters who are sinful, but who are looking to that Christ who hung on the cross. He died for us. He led an obedient life, and so we now live for Him. And we celebrate that life by drinking and eating this table which He gave to us. Now we can also take it in an improper way if we think there's more than one way to go to God. There's only one, and that's through Jesus Christ. We invite you to partake of this table. Even though you might not be a member of this church, we don't restrict it to our members. If you haven't been baptized, it's still okay, but we ask that you don't pick and choose the sacraments. that you don't think, well, I'll get baptized, it doesn't really matter, but I pray that you will be baptized, and you're planning on that. But these are two things the Lord's given to us, His church, baptism and this table. Let's pray for a minute and let God search our hearts, see if there's anything we need to confess afresh. Lord, I guess it's a lot to take in this morning when we talked about this whole thing about spiritual gifts, and really we don't go shopping for it, do we? We don't ask you. Do forgive me for not encouraging the DBICC family earlier to seek this gift. Father, if my friends have any sin in their lives right now, whether it's been with words, deeds, or thoughts, as I search my heart too, we want to be honest with you. We don't want to act like we're perfect. But we thank you that your word says if we confess our sins, you'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So thank you for hearing our prayers, a confession, and we thank you for forgiveness that is so rich and never ending. Your grace is greater than our sin. Thank you. Amen. The night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and having given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you." And likewise, he took the cup. So this is the cup of my blood of the new covenant, my blood shed for you. Drink in remembrance of me. And every time we eat, and every time we drink, we do so, we proclaim his death until what? He returns. So I invite you, moms and dads, to come along. If your child hasn't been baptized yet, I would say please refrain from taking of the elements. But your kids can come down with you, and you can tell them a little bit later on, you know, today what God did on the cross. You know, his body given for them, his blood shed for them. This is what holds us together. Not that there's anything special in these elements, no. But we're proclaiming our faith is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So come, celebrate. If you're new to the church and you don't know why we're coming down here, they don't want us to have food and drink in the seating area. And just follow along. You'll see how the people come down and then go back to the seats. Okay.